Jamie Rangel's joining me right now from Forward, and we're going to talk about this framework related to DACA. And, you know, it's one of probably the most sympathetic groups of people that there are related to illegal immigration in America. And it's something we've been talking about for a long time. And Jamie, first of all, thank you for coming in today, or being on the program today. It is something that people need to understand, because we've been talking about this for a long time. There have been several solutions put on the table. Where are we today?
Well, first of all, thank you, Martha, and all you for allowing me to be here this morning. And God bless you to you and all your viewers out there. Where we are now, we're in a position where there's an opportunity to finally do something on DACA. Recently, as you might have heard on the news, that Senator Sinema and Senator Tillis of North Carolina and Arizona have given a potential framework for a compromise legislation if possible. And at Forward, not only just at Forward, but someone who is a DACA recipient myself, we're encouraged by the reported talks and the bipartisan progress that's being made right now. And listen, Martha, like you mentioned, you know, the American people want solutions. The issue on DACA is, you know, people support it and have always supported. In fact, recent polling as of like 12 days ago, I believe, shows that overwhelmingly, including 70% of self-identified conservatives, support Republicans and Democrats working together now on immigration reform that strengthen the border and allow people who are brought to this country, like myself, through no fault of our own, to be a part of, continue being a part of the American dream. That's what the American people want, and we need Congress to act now.
And I don't disagree with you. You and I have talked about this for a long time. There have been opportunities in the past, and I don't want to belabor the past, because the past is the past. We got a new group of players right now, and hopefully they'll do things. But, you know, whether it's DACA, whether it's codifying Roe v. Wade, whether it is dealing with a number of other issues that we have, there are too many people in Congress that would rather have it as an issue to talk about and to raise money off of than to actually find a solution. And until we get past that place in our history, we're not going to get the work done that we need to get done. I don't disagree. I mean, I was in favor of what former President Trump put forward, where I felt like it was a great compromise, where it was money for border security in exchange for the DACA, the legalization of DACA kids and their parents. And of course, that didn't go through, and I don't want to belabor the point because it's a different administration, a different Congress. So what does this particular framework, as they're calling it, look like?
Well, we don't have anything in text so far right now, Martha. You know, they're still working out the details, so I can't really go into details on something that we have not seen on paper. But what I can tell your viewers is, right now, more than any other situation that we've had in the past, as I mentioned last time I was on your show, DACA is on the real threat in the court. We have already seen that Judge Haynen out of Texas is more than likely going to rule that DACA, the program itself, is unconstitutional, and the pathway through the court, it does not look well. So what does that mean down the road? Well, it means that dreamers won't be able to go to their jobs. They won't be able to go to the hospitals where they're being employed right now and helping the sick. They won't be able to go to our classrooms right now to teach the next generation of Americans. We're looking at about, you know, $1 billion being lost in the monthly in the U.S. economy, and 1,000 people being pulled out of the workforce. And that's real. That's a real problem. In Georgia, we have a 20,000 DACA recipients in this state who have a spending power of $1.3 billion, contribute over $100 million in taxes. And we want to stay in this state. We want to stay in this country. You know, I was brought to this country when I was only a toddler. I took my first steps in American soil. I grew up until this day will stand up and pledge allegiance to the greatest flag on earth. And we need Congress to do something, because there is a real threat. I mean, do we want our economy to go stronger and for us to continue building jobs in our nation? Or do we want to deport, you know, 600,000 individuals back to a country that barely even know? I think we should do what Ronald Reagan said, is protect and pass on lovingly that shining city on a hill. And right now we have an opportunity with this framework. I'm encouraging our U.S. senators and our congressional delegation in the House to get together. Enough with the finger pointing. We need y'all to negotiate, and we need you to negotiate now.
So what would you like to see? If you don't have anything in writing, but what would you like to see?
I want to see something that's bipartisan, that's well negotiated in good faith efforts, that will pass the U.S. Senate. We need 10 Republicans to come on board. We have, I believe, Republicans that have spoken favorably of Dreamers in the past, and I believe the votes are there. We just need our senators and our Congress and D.C. to work together. The American people have spoken. Like I mentioned, polling has showed that over 70% are conservative, and 8 out of 10 voters have supported Dreamers in the past, and they want bipartisan solutions. The American people have spoken, and we want Congress to act. So that's what I want. I want people to do the job they were elected to do.
Jamie Brangel from Forward.us, we appreciate you being with us today and talking about this very important subject. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Martha. God bless.